بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ونحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأجمعين. Truly praise us for Allah, and we praise Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and our wrong actions. And whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him, and we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah without one, without a partner. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His worshipper and messenger. Blessings of Allah and peace be upon him and his family and his companions. Qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitabi al-mubin, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqu billahi al-haq tuqatih wa tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها وبثها منهم رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Allah, praise be upon him and most high said in his clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as he should be feared. Do not die save as you are as Muslims. And O people, fear the Lord who has created you from oneself and from it to maiden from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and toward the wombs from which you have come. Truly Allah is the watcher over all of you. Alhamdulillahi ladin ta'ala yawmini wa jumati sayyidina ma'inami. Wa la nabudu wa nasta'inahu ila iya wa huwa ladhi farad rasal salat ala jumati bi khawli liya ta'ala. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ود ندي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فصلوا لذكر الله وذروا البيع. Praise be to all who made this day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship. We do not seek aid other than from He who made congregation worth of obligatory worship obligatory for us as a witness in the saying of the Most High, O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call of Salat on the day of congregation, make haste to the remembrance of Allah and leave your trading. The sincere believers are those who have believed and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah. For truly in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find their rest. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and Surah At-Tawbah revealed, إِنَ اللَّهَ شَتَارَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقَاتِلُونَ وَيُقَاتِلُونَ وَدَانَ لَهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ ومن أوفى بأذه من الله وتبصر شروب بائكم الذي بياتهم به وذلك هو فوز العظيم أتائمنا أبدنا حميدنا سيحنا راكنا سجدنا أميرنا بالمعروف ونهنا عن المنكر والحافظون على حدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. He says, surely Allah has brought from the believers their souls and their wealth in exchange for the garden. And they fight in the way of Allah and they kill and they are killed. There is a promise binding it to him in the Torah and the Injil and the Quran. Who fulfills the covenant better than Allah? Rejoice them than in the bargain you have made, for that is the supreme attainment. Triumphant are the repentant, the worshippers, the praisers, those who wander seeking truth, those who fast, those who bow down, those who are prostrate, those who order the good and forbid the evil, and preserve the limits set by Allah and give good news to the believers. In this ayat, Allah, in these two ayat, in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the realities of life. And He tells us the covenant that we've made with Allah. And He told us that in this, revealed to us in this covenant, that, and not only here, but wherever we look in the Quran and Hadith, again and again we're reminded there's a balance between what our choices are and what our potential is as human beings. That we have to struggle in life, we have to fight for what is right and what is good, and we have to reminded that there's a balance between what our choices are and what our potential is as human beings to do good or to do wrong. And what the criteria is and what really makes a human being compassionate and really loving. We have the potential of the divine compassion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a small bit in us or reflected upon us. And our journey is one towards an awakening, a journey toward a healing, a journey toward confronting realities, or reality, a journey toward overcoming certain human tendencies, to avoid pain, to avoid anger, to avoid difficulties, things that we all struggle with. And so Allah gives us also repentance when we fail. When we finally come up short, perhaps I should say. The seed that's planted in us to help us overcome our trials and our tribulations, our upsets, our angers, our pains, our confusions, our doubts, our self-centeredness, our lack of confidence in our own selves, our greed, our judgmentalness, is compassion. Rahmah. And it's compassion in the sense of the divine compassion, which arises when our self, when our I-ness is affected by observing the pain and observing the suffering and the needs and the losses of other creatures, not just people. How many of us have driven along a road and seen a dead animal along the side of the road and a little shiver goes up your spine? That's sort of hardwired into us. This is compassion. Well, Allah puts that in us and He reminds us that we see death all around us and pain around us, suffering around us. We're to compare it with our own. We're to measure our own against it. The genocides, the poverty, the struggling, the starvation. The people without anything, where everything has been taken, without family, without friends, without guidance, without help, without belief. So, if you walk out the door today and you find that Jezebel has a thorn in his hair, A, first thing you're going to think is, how did he get out? Because he's supposed to be in. And the second thing you're going to think is, oh, that poor cat. It's not that Jezebel is a masjid cat, so it's not my responsibility. Call Sharifa. Guard cat. Any cat. We see the raccoons raiding the food at night. We sit there while they tear apart the food at the back of the dining area. And we're angry at them and we're saying, oh, how cute they are. Look at how cute they are. Hello, cute animal, hello. I talked to them, my partner, I talked to them. They usually look at me. Yeah. I used to have raccoons. Then with Shanti, remember. Abraham and Solomon and Abraham, yeah. Sometimes we feel bad for a tree when the tree's branches are broken. When the flowers are beaten down by the rain, when the ice that comes and bends over the bamboo. We don't have to worry about that yet. But what arises in our hearts when compassion enters is a sense of forgiveness also, a sense of something greater than ourselves. When we see these things, you can't give the cat a lecture and say, be careful of the thorns, don't get a thorn in your foot. You can't tell the, you can tell the raccoons all you want, but they're not going to change their ways. The same thing with our people. People are going to experience difficulties in life. We're going to experience difficulties in life. And we can look and look at the misery and the terror and the horrors all around the world. And we shake our head and we say, how can people treat each other like that? But we know. It happens. We know. We've been treated like that at a lesser degree. God forbid we've treated others that way. And so that's why peace and understanding and compassion and love and mercy are important things. I believe that when it is really genuine compassion, there's always forgiveness. The ability to forgive. I didn't say forget. I said forgive. Well, always remember. But to forgive is to give of our compassion. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. It doesn't mean that we compromise our value. It doesn't mean that we give up what we know is right. It just is compassion. Love. For Allah. Because we're placed here by Allah. We hear the word compassion being used a lot. We heard it in previous years by a leader of our country in previous years. And you don't want to hear the word anymore when it comes out of certain people's mouths. When we hear the word peace and we hear the word care and concern and all this today out of the new leader's mouth, and we want to see, let's see the results. Yeah. He won the Nobel Prize today, did you know that? For Peace Prize. It'd be nice if he does something to get something every once in a while. I'm sorry, but it would have been nice. We want to see the peace from the peaceful winner. We want to see compassion from the compassionate person who says the word compassion. We want to hear the truth from somebody who used the words the truth. But it still doesn't mean we don't feel. Or here's the example, you know, if you see a child fall down, immediately you run to help the child. It doesn't matter if it's your child, somebody else's child, a stranger's child. Because the compassion is there. And when you feel bad for someone who's going through confusion or difficulty, when you talk to them and you say, you know, don't worry, it'll be all right, Malesh, you know, Allahu Akbar. Everything will be all right. You need to ask yourself, why, what? You believe that? If you believe it, you'll make it happen. That's the power of your compassion, your love, your concern. Now make it, show it. Give form to it. Give meaning to it. And this aspect of the merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made clear to us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so my mercy precedes my wrath. Most of us don't know how to forgive ourselves. Indeed, we find as human beings that often our wrath precedes our mercy. And it happens all the time. Sometimes we get a little angry. We say something we don't mean. We should have just forgiven. We should have just been merciful and compassionate. That's happened to me once or twice. Or 3 times. 10 times. Someone does something and we get angry. Then we get compassionate. Something happens, Allah first forgives. First Allah forgives. And then decides on what punishment should be. Meted out. A believer, one who guards the heart, always acts with mercy and compassion towards the heart because it is the heart that embraces and encompasses and contains the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Compassion has no other agenda. We're not compassionate to someone so that they'll be appreciated, we'll be appreciated by them. We're not merciful so that they will thank us. We don't trust because will benefit from their trust, but it's for its own sake. And in that sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear how powerful the heart is, what he says, my heaven and my earth cannot embrace me, but the heart of my believing servant embraces me. And we know that the heart is powerful. It's a muscle that never stops flexing. Never stops flexing. It can squeeze you very hard. In Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the heart of a believer is held between two fingers of the merciful. He turns it about as he wills. Not between two fingers of the Creator. He didn't say the Creator. Didn't use the name Creator. He could have said two fingers of the love, the lover, one who loves. Could have said two fingers of the patient, of sabur. No, of the merciful. Two fingers of the merciful. There's a nice little quatrain from Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi. He said, the overwhelming light between the fingers of the divine light is safe from dimming or eclipse. The divine dispenses that light upon the self, and the blessed hold out their robes to receive that light. Whoever is favored by that is one who has turned his face from all but Allah. So, for those of us who would attempt to walk on the path of awakening, who would make jihad on the jihad on the lower self, the one who would seek on the path of knowledge, those of us could be called spiritual warriors. And if we're among those, this taking of life for Allah, this killing, as we said in the, as we quoted in Surah At-Tawbah, is not killing of people, the killing of the lower nature, killing of the evil. Because this is these two ayat are about ma'ruf and munkar. Stand for what is right and what is good. These people are the forgivers, the destroyers of what is ill, the forgivers of our own past mistakes. We don't add an ounce of our own past mistakes without the forgiveness coming. And that forgiveness means, in this case, means giving up the idea that one is going to punish or be punished for wrongdoing. It means giving up the rewards for good actions. It means the power to forgive is sufficient. We don't repent out of fear. We repent out of love of Allah. And whoever commits a wrongdoing and is punished for it in this world, God's justice, Allah's justice, is such that punishment for such a devotee is not repeated in the hereafter, alhamdulillah. And when one in this world commits a wrongdoing which is covered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not rejudge something for which has been covered up, forgiven by him in this world. So we know that statement, Allah is forgiving and Allah is Allah is forgiving, and Allah is forgiveness. The point is that if Allah does this, why should we be different? If we cover the faults of someone, if we cover their error, their mistakes, their misunderstandings, why would we later seek to punish them? If Allah covers their mistakes, why would we seek retribution? If Allah punishes, why would we add to the punishment? This is compassion. Compassion and forgiveness is what we strive for on this path, because with that compassion, there is humility and understanding. Imam Ghazali, he defines a person who is humble as one who intentionally gives up something he deserves. Think about it. You give up something that you deserve. The side of humility is that you accept true words no matter who has spoken them. that there's somebody here who you don't respect, but they speak the truth to you, you accept it because it's the truth, not because of the person it was who spoke it. It's also said that you never admire yourself for any action that you yourself perform. And the servants of the All Merciful are those who walk this earth with modesty. It's also to stand humbly before that truth, before Allah, guarding the truth, striving to fulfill the truth. So believers in their hearts are people who guard the truth in a very conscious way. Don't aggressively guard it unless the truth is attacked. They defend the truth. They defend the truth. They don't say, they're not aggressive in the name of the truth. So these are different facets of compassion. People like this, inshallah, we can count ourselves among them at some point, are zealous in the way they guard the truth. But the courage, all the courage, all the strength, all the power lie in being displayed at the right time. A person who just displays power over individuals is called a bully. A person who displays power when someone is being bullied is called a hero. A person who restrains until he is forced to act is a humble person. A person who gives compassion and love at the right time for the right reason has greatness. Uniqueness. In other words, to be zealous in and of itself is not a great characteristic. Not even zeal toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great characteristic. Remember when Shaitan was told to bow again before Adam, we talked about this recently, he zealously said he would not do it because he would only bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was misdirected zeal. I am made of fire while Adam is made of earth implied that Shaitan was made of a higher quality. So his zeal was misplaced and he had no effect on Allah because it didn't rise out of humility and respect. And in the tradition it is said that Allah is zealous, talking about Allah's relationship with his own creation. The Quran asks, is it not the time that the hearts of those who have faith should be humbled in the remembrance of Allah and truth which he sent down? Why? Because it will then become quiet. It will quiet our false image of Allah. It will quiet our false image of ourselves. We'll begin to recognize the blessings which are really given to us that we can only know through our compassion, through our humility, through our remembrance. And so when we become angry and upset and lose our compassion, it's because we've forgotten. We're not looking, we're not seeing, and we're forgetting. And people strive to keep themselves in that state of forgetfulness. Being humble also means having adab and being courteous, and the false self is made strong by being arrogant and discourteous. Demanding and having no good behavior, the heart instinctively wants to have good adab. The ego is ready to drive, is really driven by opposing the heart. When the heart tried to hold the ego in control through humility and kindness and modesty and compassion and love. And those who have adab are referred to as those who have kept the bonds with Allah. So adab is for the spiritual seeker to live within the boundaries of compassion and to live within the boundaries of mercy and to walk with compassion and to lead the way. And when circumstances come about as they do, first to be compassionate and then otherwise, if one needs to invoke some kind of effort or retribution or punishment by law or by form or by custom, that is appropriate, but only if it's appropriate. There's a story on the immediate needs of this. Abu Zayd was traveling from the city where he lived to another city. He was riding on a horse and he got ahead of his followers. And he found himself alone and he came near to this village called Nobahar. A group of Turkomani dacoits, bandits, approached him. They had just invaded that area. They had literally raped and pillaged and looted. And these bandits came up to him and said they wanted his horse. Abu Zayd told them that it took 4 marids to help him down from his horse. Once they arrived, he would happily give the horse to them. And they agreed. They weren't very smart. A few minutes later, the marids caught up, and Abu Zayd ordered his marids to help him dismount from his horse and to give the horse to the bandits. And the disciples protested. They said that they were a much larger group and they could easily beat the bandits in battle. Abu Zayd said, "No, I've given my word. Give them the horse." So the bandits took the horse and they left. A few hours after, the master had taken up his lodging for the night, another group of Turkomanis appeared, not only with his horse, but with another horse as a gift to him. These Turkomanis were apologetic, saying that the bandits were a group of youths who did not know what they were doing. How strange. Abu Zayd, however, did not accept the gift. He said, "Whenever we let go, we don't take back. We do not recapture things." The bandits were so impressed by his courtesy and his compassion that they repented of their deeds. They vowed never again to harm anyone. So how humble and how merciful can you be when you are the target? And the first thing you think of doing is to give and to trust in the divine. Very, very different and very difficult. So, my dear brothers and sisters, it seems to me, when we look around the world today and we see all the misery, isn't it strange that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided misery in one place to give relief in another? Isn't it strange that the misery of one person evokes the compassion of our own selves and it gives relative meaning to our own misery and our own crises, our own difficulties? And it's a mystery. It's a mystery. That I could have been here, but I was there. If I had been here, it would have been me whose village was raped and pillaged. And here, but I'm here, and I'm just absorbed in my own problem. Oh, and I give a donation to there, and I care about there. But is it possible that if we're compassionate here, the mercy goes there? I leave you with that to think about, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انصرنا في نك خير الناصرين واغفر لنا خير الفاتحين واغفر لنا في نك خير الغافرين وارحمنا في نك خير الراحمين وارزقنا في نك خير الرازقين وهدنا ونجنا من القوم الظالمين وهب لنا ريحا طيبة كما هي في علمك وانشرنا إلينا من خزائن رحمتك واحملنا بها حمل الكرامات والسلامات والعافية في الدنيا والدنيا والآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم يسر لنا أمورنا والراحة لقلوبنا بأبادنا والسلامات والعافية في دنيانا وديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاسيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك دينا قائما ونسألك عافية من كل بلية ونسألك تامن العافية ونسألك دعوة العافية ونسألك الشكر والعافية إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم واسر وجوهنا بنور صفاتك وأدكنا أذئفنا وبشرنا يوم القيامة بين أولياء لك وجعل جهادك مبسوطا علينا وعلى أهلنا ومن معنا برحمتك وكن لنا صاحبا في سفرنا وكالفة في أهلنا وارمس على وجه أيدنا ونسخهم على مكاناتهم فلا يستطيعون إلى مدي الله والمجي علينا يا نمال مجيب يا نمال مجيب يا نمال مجيب Oh Allah, you are the responder, so feed us, look at us, for you're the best to aid us, and you're the best to help us, and the best to forgiving, and the most merciful, most compassionate, the best of providers, and guide us and deliver us from the hands of oppressors, indeed from our own oppressions. Grant us fair wind in accord with your knowledge, wafted upon us from the treasure of your mercy. Transport us by it so that by the convenience of your generosity and your compassion with peace and well-being in our spiritual life and our worldly life and in the life to come, truly you have power over all things. Ya Allah, make order easy for us. Give us serenity in our hearts and our bodies and peace and well-being in our worldly life and our spiritual life. We beseech you for your faith in the everlasting, and we beseech you for a submissive heart. And we beseech you for knowledge that is beneficial, and we beseech you for certainty that is genuine, and for religion that is straight, and for well-being free from afflictions, and we ask you for your complete well-being, and for continual well-being, and thankfulness for that well-being. Make our faces shine, O Allah, with your light and your attributes, and make us laugh and rejoice on the day of resurrection with your friends, and make your hand to be spread upon us, and our families, and our children, and those who are with us by your mercy. Be our companion in our travels and guardian in our family, a face to face of our enemies, and freeze them in their places so that they are unable to go up against us. Oh, you who are the most gracious responder. Ya Allah, I ask you for your special blessings today on those who are suffering among us, for those who have burdens, near to us, those who are in need. I ask you special blessings for the lady you put in the grave this week, Neelam's mother, and we ask you for her blessings on her children. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to heal those among us who are ill, for those who are among us who are charged with trying to heal their illnesses, give us the means to heal them, the shifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uplift us, guide us, give us strength. Give us wisdom, give us hikmah, Allah, give us patience, O Allah, and help us to return to you, to recollect ourselves, O Allah, to be ready for the shower of your blessings. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa na'maduhu, wa nasta'inu, wa nastaghfiruhu. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلى الله عليه وسلم وتسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم وارد علينا سيادة الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاخر وعثمان بن عفان وعلى سيدنا الإمام العلي كرم الله وجهه وارد اللهم أن سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا الحسين وأن أمهما سيادتي فاطمة والزهرة وان علي والبيت الكرام وأجواجي من أربياتك وطهراتي وماتهاتي للمؤمنين وصحباتي الصالحين وتابعين وتابعيهم بعبادي للمخلصين بإسلامين وإمامين وإكسانين إلى يوم الدين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وذكر الله أكبر. Welcome to Salah.